Yeah, bless us all tonight. Speak to us as the great high priest over the house of God. We trust only in you. You alone can make it with every one of us. We praise you. We look unto you. We don't look on ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for your speaking in these days. It shows your love to your priesthood. Yeah, open you up your word to us newly tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, let us read Hebrews 4, the last three verses again from verse 14. Yeah, Hebrews 4 from verse 14 together about our great high priest. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have a great high priest, amen, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So let us not give up. That's what this sentence means. Let us hold fast our confession, amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to hold fast. All want to hold fast and not give up. Praise the Lord. Then, yeah, it's good that it says, we have. So many times, we have a great high priest. We have one who can sympathize with our weaknesses. When do you want to give up? If when you're so strong and saying he will come back as the king? No, then it's not when you want to give up. Then you're running. But in 3 weeks, when some things went wrong, then you will say, oh, you realize your weakness and you want to give up. And you want to say, it doesn't work. Therefore, the next verse says, in verse 15, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Praise the Lord. The Lord knows these weaknesses. He is God. As long as he was in glory, there was no weakness. All angels have to listen to him. As God, you don't have weakness. You don't know what weakness means. But as a man, you have a lot of weaknesses. You have to sleep. You have to eat. You can become tired. Many things can happen. And the Lord had that too. So he can sympathize with our weaknesses. Amen. And he was tempted in all things the same way, but yet without sin. So what a man, wonderful. He was tempted in all things. The devil offered the world to him in a way like to no one before. Did the Lord give up, or did the Lord... the Lord resisted. He said, go behind me. The Lord was tested regarding his stomach, yeah? And this becomes a problem for us very quickly. But the Lord was tested without sin. Not even this, so to speak, justified lust, his appetite. He didn't give in, yeah. And that was how he overcame the enemy in all things as a man. And then he says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. This is so important. The Lord is wonderful and he can help every one of us. It doesn't matter what kind of weakness we have. Everyone thinks, of course, his weakness is the most difficult. And if I just were not like this and that in this or that thing, if I wouldn't have this thing, it would be so much easier. But this is not a heavenly thought. This thought will not help us. The word says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. The only thing that can help our weakness is to come to him. He's the only one who can help us. And that's why the word says, come boldly. You don't look on yourself. And you think, okay, that was not good, and this, I should have learned already, and why did I fell into that? And this list, we can get rid of them. Rather, we should come forward to the throne of grace. We should focus on coming forward. And then he says that we may obtain mercy. Is it not wonderful to obtain mercies? It means you don't bring anything. You are someone who doesn't bring anything. Mercy is for those who are really, really on the floor. They're really down. They need mercy. The lost son needs, he needed mercy. The rich young guy, he doesn't need mercy, right? Because he's doing so well. But the lost son, who was sitting with the pigs, he really needed mercy. So praise the Lord. We shall all obtain mercy. That brings us out from each hole, no matter how deep it is. There's no sin, no hole, which is so deep that God's mercy would not reach there. What kind of man did God save? Those who in the society back then were nothing. The tax collectors and the harlots, they will go in before you. Eh? So the mercy of God is so great. And if we come forward, we will obtain mercy. The Lord brings us out of each hole. Doesn't matter how deep it is. Praise the Lord. And then he will give us more. Not only mercy. You know, mercy is that you come out of this hole. But this is not everything. And find grace. Verse 16 goes on with, and find grace. What is grace therefore? It is that you would reach the glory. That's the difference between mercy and grace. The one thing brings us out of this hole. But the grace brings us from where we are today into glory. The word says grace has appeared. Grace of God has appeared us to bring salvation. And it teaches us to reach glory. Isn't it wonderful? But we shall find it. That means that we need to seek for the Lord. Not just only be satisfied when the Lord brought us out of this hole. Many times we are so quick. Rainer read Psalm 107 today. They were always there in the hole. The Lord always brought them out of this hole. But the problem was, then they fell into the next pit. They didn't went on seeking. And that's why it says to find grace. When the Lord brought us out, then let us seek, continue to seek, that we find grace, that we, can go on. It is so important. We want to find grace to help in time of need. Praise the Lord. Do you all need help? And why do you need help? I think in Hebrews, it is an important question. What do we need help for? That you can write a good exam, Gianluca? No, that's not what it is there for. Why do you need it? that we can serve God as a priest. That's why we need grace in the book of Hebrews. That is the goal of the great high priest. A great high priest is not satisfied that he serves God alone and God and offers up God and does everything for God how he wants it. No. He intercedes for us at all time. That's a priestly service as a golden at a golden incense altar. But is it good enough? Is it good enough, Mark? You have to say very clearly, no. The Lord told Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan
has asked for you as wheat.
Yeah, Satan has asked for you, but I prayed for you that your faith would not
stop.
Would not stop. But if you turned once, then strengthen your brothers, intercede for your brothers. The great high priest wants to bring us all into the priestly service. That's the goal of his help. It's like at school. What does your physics teacher want to teach you? Sports? No. What does he want you to learn? He wants you to learn physics, of course. Like, at best, as he knows physics. Yeah, that's the goal of the teacher. And the great high priest, he doesn't teach you anything. He doesn't teach you, I don't know, how to cook. His job is to teach you physics. He's a physics teacher. And what is the task of the great high priest? To teach us the priestly service. So let us read the first five verses of chapter 5. Tonight we are in chapter 5. And let us read 1 to 6. Chapter 5, 1 to 6, brothers and sisters. Amen. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Yeah, praise the Lord. According to the order of Melchizedek. What does it mean if there's a priestly ordinance? Is it only one? Can a priestly ordinance just be one? No, then it's just one priest, right? So a priestly ordinance means there's a high priest and a whole priesthood. So we are all part of this ordinance, priestly ordinance of Melchizedek. And his task, the word says, God has appointed Christ. In the old covenant, he called Aaron, but now in verse 5, so also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, But it was he who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. So why was the Lord, what was the Lord appointed for? What is his task today? This verse, You are my son, today I have begotten you. What does it mean? Of which day does it speak, this verse? Of the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem? Is that the birth that is meant? No. Where does it, is it mentioned? Huh. Acts 13:33. That's where it is written. Acts 13:33. Yeah. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that He has raised up Jesus. As it is also written in the second psalm, You are my son, today I have begotten you. Amen. So of which day is it talking? Speaking? Bethlehem? No, it's from his resurrection. Amen. This sentence from Psalm 2 is the bringing forth of the new man. The bringing forth of the firstborn. It was not like that when he was born in Bethlehem. He was not the firstborn. He was the only begotten back then, without brethren. Now, in resurrection, what did he say to Mary, go to my brethren? So suddenly, he's not alone anymore. He's the firstborn. How did it happen? You are my son, today I have begotten you, O Lord. And what for did God, Christ, did God appoint Christ in resurrection? Until that day, the service of the Lord was the service of salvation. But from the day of resurrection, what is his service? It is the service of the high priest. And it is his service to make us such priests as he is. That's his task now. Nothing less than that. He wants to make us all such priests now. Praise the Lord. Are you happy that you are all in the priestly apprenticeship? Do we learn from the Lord how to serve priestly? How to do the priestly service? Did we learn in these past weeks how to serve as a priest? Yeah. Did we go up in these past weeks, or did it become more or less? Did we learn or did we forget? It is good to ask yourself. It is not just a calling that is meant to be written in the Bible. No, it is what the Lord is appointed for. He wants to bring us there, that we serve God as a priest, O Lord. And that's what the Lord has fought for. The next verse, verse 7, in Hebrews 5 again, verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. So I appreciate really that we have such a time of conference. Why? Because we can really meditate on some things before the Lord. What did you use this days for? We have time the whole day. Yeah, you're free the whole day, Leon. I'm always free. That's a privilege. I cannot say that about myself. What do we do with our time? It is good to ask the Lord, Lord, in this past time, did I learn more of the priestly service? We had the spring conference about the services in the holy place. It was the burden of the Lord. How many services? I think it's not difficult. You have to count to three. You have to be able to count to three. Lampstand, showbread table, and incense altar, these three. How does it look like with these three services in our life? How much has the Lord in these past weeks worked out of these services in my life? This question is really important. The spring conference was not there to understand the holy place. It was there that we would learn this priestly service in the holy place more and more. And in these days, the first meeting, do you still remember it? Was a strong word. And a word for repentance. And repentance is not so easy. It means you really change. If I realize, and in these days, I had to repent newly in many things. Because I told the Lord, okay, the service at the golden incense altar, how was it these past weeks? How many times was I standing before you and cried out for your purpose? And I really wanted your kingdom to go on. I had to repent before the Lord. I said, Lord, you have to help me as the great high priest. And this service, if it's not done by us, from all of us, then where is the priestly service going in the church? I can tell you, it becomes Laodicea. That's where it is going. If we don't practice the priesthood through the grace in the high priest, if we don't learn it more and more, then we will become Laodicea. Definitely. No golden incense altar. Showbread table. Yeah, to give food. To give food at the right time. We all speak to each other a lot, right? The young people. They cannot even sleep. They want to speak so much to each other. Sleeping is not interesting because they want to talk to each other, right? Joshua? Midnight is nothing. At midnight, they're not really tired. It goes on. They keep talking to each other. One question. We're talking so much, but how many times do you give the food at the right time? How many times do we practice this priestly service? Especially after 10 p.m. when we talk to each other. How much is still priestly service or just gossip? And we think, oh, it's just like that. We don't have too much time to learn the priestly service. There is not much time left. If my lips are so loose and they can always speak, but I'm not capable to give the right food at the right time, that's not good news. Then we have to go to the high priest and repent and tell the Lord, Lord, sanctify my lips. I want to learn the priestly service. I don't want to sit at lunch and make one joke after another. It's not good. That's not a priestly service. Or if someone comes and to eat and speaks about this and that and all kind of things. No. If we speak to each other, and the showbread table is not just one brother who gives a message in the meeting. No. Then we don't have much food. Only once a week, then you have something to eat, right? The church cannot survive by that, for sure. And so much need in the church, it cannot be covered by one message. But if we speak to each other and as priests, we stand as priests before the Lord and we say, Lord, teach me the priestly service as the at the golden showbread table. Then we start to give the right food at the right time. This is wonderful. And what happens if someone who serves with the Lord in such a way, Luke 12, 43, Luke 12:43, blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. And it can always happen, also after midnight. And verse 44 says, truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. Isn't it worthy to sanctify your lips for the Lord? I remember when I was younger, I spoke a lot. I was in a car with someone at one time, and after 4 hours, this person told me, can you please be quiet now for a little bit? It was not good. My lips were not sanctified. Today, when we are in the car, we don't speak about anything for 4 hours. No, we want to learn to give the right food at the right time. That's what we, and therefore we need to live before the Lord, that we have food. We need, first of all, we need food for ourselves. How do you want to give food if you don't have food for yourself? If I don't come to the Word myself and I don't take time for the fellowship with the Lord, how can I give food? If I don't go shopping, I cannot invite somebody for lunch or dinner. How does it work? I don't go shopping, but I invite somebody. No, you have to pay for the food, even for the earthly food. I'm surprised how much I have to pay every time. But the heavenly food is also not free. You have to go to the Lord and tell the Lord, Lord, give me food. It is not so difficult. But we have to do it. Otherwise, if we speak to each other, you always speak out of the abundance of your heart, right? So as priests, we have to take heed what our lips do. In Malachi, the Lord rebuked the priests because their lips, instead of showing the right way to the people, they led them astray. If you come to me and I speak to you about earthly things, worldly things, university, this subject, this and that, and you go home, what do you want to do? You want to pursue careers. So I led you astray. This is not good. But we have to come to the Lord. And we need food for ourselves. And how is it with the golden lampstand? How much did the high priest help us to go to this lampstand that the whole church would shine? It's not so easy, right? That each lamp would shine. But how much do I care about that each lamp shines? That's a different question. How is it if you're in the meeting and you think like, oh, the light was only a third today, a third of its strength? Can you then sleep well? Or do you say, Lord, we want to have many lampstands? You know, this priestly service is about our whole life. It is really the preparation of the coming of the Lord, of His return. Also in Luke 12:35, the Lord said, Luke 12:35, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. What is that? It is the priestly service at the golden lampstand. Only if I'm burning myself, then others' lamps can burn. If I'm already lukewarm, how can I make someone burning? But who is always burning, André? The great high priest. Hallelujah. Revelation 1. What a fire. If we realize we are not so burning anymore, where do you have to go? You have to go to the great high priest and you have to tell him, Lord, make me burning again. Not for my sake, but that all of your lampstands would burn in your house. We all have received this priestly service. We have this great high priest. We received him. And that we would really practice this priesthood more and more. And in these days, I repented. I told the Lord the tendency of this past weeks. I couldn't sleep. Yeah, my personal one. I told the Lord, no, even though the circumstances are difficult, but it has to go on. No matter what the circumstances are. Because the Lord is coming. I don't want that the Lord to wait even longer. It would not be so nice. In these days, Trump said, he wants to run for another presidency. When I heard that, I was like, I don't know if I want to be happy. That means the Lord has to wait even more until we are ready. I was really sad. I told the Lord, I repent that I go on so slowly. Sometimes I even go backwards. Let us use this conference to reflect and not to condemn yourself, but to go to the Lord in His light and to ask the Lord, how about these services in the holy place that we learned in this spring conference, practically in my daily living? How many times do I have your help? This is the help at time of need. This is not about finding my keys. You don't need a high priest for that. The Lord helps you, or the angel, or the Lord has many characteristics. He can help you in many ways. But a high priest helps us for the priestly service. And isn't it amazing that only Hebrews shows us the Lord as this high priest? And who wrote Hebrews? Paul. What kind of life did Paul live? Fully for God's purpose. In his life, there was nothing else. He didn't do anything else. Day and night. Wow. No wonder he can write so much of the high priest, of the great high priest. And then in chapter 5, verse 11, again in Hebrews 5:11, he says, of whom we have much to say. Yeah, he already writes 13 chapters, but he still says, we have much to say. But how come? Did he study the Bible a lot, and that's why he has so much to say? No, that's because he served God so much in the holy place, and he experienced Him so much and served Him so much that he got to know Him so well. And that's why we need this epistle of Hebrews. In these coming weeks, I want to go on in every priestly service, not out of my strength, but through the great high priest. And it's good to give such a wow to the Lord. Lord, no matter where we are right now, so I like these verses really in chapter 5 in the beginning.
Those who are ignorant and gone astray.
Verse 2, okay. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray. And he still trains us. Yeah, he doesn't throw us out. Yeah. Isn't it wonderful? He even has compassion. But we have to come to Him and tell Him, Lord, I want to learn the priestly service. Also the spiritual offerings. The young people, you can offer up spiritual offerings. I know a place where many young people offer up spiritual sacrifices to the Father. It's a great encouragement when you hear that again and again. And we can all do that. It's not that difficult. One experience with the Lord, where we were obedient, through His grace, praise the Lord. And then we collect another one and another one, and then we can offer up a sacrifice to Him. It is very well, very good. And we do that every week so that we realize if we go on. That's why the offerings are so important, that we realize if we go on or if we do not go on. I don't want to become Laodicea. After Wednesday night, I read Revelation 3 with other eyes, really. About Laodicea. I was shocked, yeah? I told the Lord, save us from all taste or trace of Laodicea. We don't want to have anything of it. And then verse 7, it says, yeah, how did the Lord serve as the high priest? Was very easy. No. In the days of his flesh, he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was hurt because of his godly fear. For the Lord, it was also not easy. Amen. So if it is not easy for him, of course, for us, it's also not easy. But it shall be an encouragement. An encouragement. If we realize it's not that easy, then don't give up. For the Lord, it was also not easy. But let us cry out to the Lord. Yeah, how many times do you cry out to the Lord? How many times did we cry out to the Lord that we could do His will? This verse, I read it, and I was like, why is this verse written here? Why did he cry out in such a way? Only because he was in a difficult life situation. So this verse speaks about Gethsemane. So how did the Lord get into this situation right before going to the cross? Because there was no other way? Or was it voluntarily? Fully voluntarily. And when the disciples came with the sword and wanted to save him, he said, Peter, take back your sword.
Put your sword in its sheath.
To put your sword in its shield. I could just easily let a legion of angels come. So the Lord had to cry out to the Lord as a man to do His will. Not because there was an accident which was so dangerous. No, because he really wanted to do God's will. And to the Lord, it was so clear that this is the will of God. At least three times in the Gospels, he proclaims that he needs to be crucified, and he needs to suffer, and he needs to resurrect. At least three times. So the Lord was so clear when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane what will come. For him, it was not somehow unclear what is the will of God. No. Now, this was not the reason for his crying. The reason was he needed this strengthening to do the will of God. And how is it with us? Don't we all need strength? Sometimes we should not do this or that. Especially if we are on our cell phone. The Lord says, don't do it. It's misuse of time. It will just kill you spiritually. What do we do? We have to cry out to the Lord. If we already know what is the will of God, and we realize the weakness that wants to hinder us to do His will, then let us do it like the Lord. Yeah. Prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears. And he says he offered it to him. Yeah. So really, this word here, it says here really, offer up. It reminds us of the offerings. The Lord is our real burnt offering. He can strengthen us in all situations, each situation, to do the will of God. But we have to cry out to Him. It is so good to cry out to the Lord. If you really repent from your heart, it's not about how loud you cry, but it is about if it really comes from the heart. Maybe you don't cry out so loud, but in your heart, you're fully with the Lord. Lord, save me. I want to do your will. Such a crying out. Such a vehement cry. Not only for ourselves, but for the whole church. For all the churches. We are right before the goal. We don't want to become Laodicea. But how can the Lord turn us all and bring us into His direction? I think we have to cry out to Him. It is not so easy. But praise the Lord. The Lord, He was this example for us, and He has compassion that we would cry out to Him with vehement cry and tears. The Gospel of Luke says these teardrops became blood. His sweating, sorry. And I think no one of us cried out in such a way that there was blood yet, right? And this was not a prayer because there was a cancer diagnosis, right? Many people cry out to the Lord when it is about their life, right? But this crying out was for God's purpose. in Luke 22, Luke 22, 44, I guess, huh? Okay, from 39 to 46. Luke 22, 39 to 46. But I only want to read verse 42. Or 41, yeah. And he was withdrawn from them. So it's good to separate ourselves sometimes. We talk to each other, we like to do that. But sometimes we have to separate from each other. Although we should not keep on talking, then we have no time with the Lord. Of course, we should not be that extreme that we don't talk to each other anymore. But here it says, he was withdrawn from them. It is good. About a stone's throw. I don't know how far it is, but... And he knelt down and prayed. And saying, Father, if it is your will, that was all the Lord wanted. It was in Luke, it is not just if it is possible, let it go by. No, that's what it says in Matthew. But in Luke it says, Father, if it is your will, it is good to ask the Lord daily much more. Father, what is your will? And do what you want. I think all of us, we saw a lot of God's purpose. But for myself, I can only say, I don't cry out to the Lord enough. But it has to become more. The great high priest. Father, if you want, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Isn't it wonderful? If we start to serve as priests in such a way, to cry out to him, you will receive strength. You will have so much more strength in the life of the Lord like never before. If we don't serve God, if we don't dedicate our lives to serve him, you know what will happen? We will serve sin. Yeah. You will always serve somebody. If I don't serve the Lord anymore, in these aspects, as we said, in prayers, in the Word, in the Gospel, then we start to serve sin. Because our thoughts, they will never stop. Right? Or can you stop your thoughts? No. So what do you want to do? Serve the Lord. That's why we have thoughts. To serve the Lord. And therefore, we need His strengthening. It is so good, not only the Lord for us, the great high priest is there for us, so we can serve God. But you know, if we serve God, we will be set free. You're free from sin, free from the world, free from desires to make careers. You're not interested in it anymore because you have a much higher calling. It's the best way to become free, to serve the Lord. And you know what is a mystery? If you serve the Lord, if you serve the Lord in the Spirit, you enter into His rest. This is what Hebrews 4 means with entering into His rest. If you hear this as a young man, you think about your couch. And that's where you enter into the rest. But if you're on the couch, you will not enter into the rest. As soon as someone tells you, can you stand up and do something, you realize, no, you were not in the rest. If someone comes and makes a short comment, immediately you will react because you were not in the rest. But how do you enter into the rest? This is a secret. How do you enter? In Matthew 11, you see the way. Also in Hebrews 4, yeah? Matthew 11, 28, come to me. That's the first step. If we ask ourselves where to start with that, go to him, come to him. If everything is too complicated and you think, I cannot remember that, then come to him. If we can remember that, it's already good. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, So if we don't serve Him, then we will all be laden with sin, with the world, with work, with sorrows. And I will give you rest. And how will He give rest? Take my yoke upon you. It's amazing, right? How do you enter into His rest? If you do the will of God. Not just serve a lot, but serve in the Lord. If we serve here, we wash the dishes, children's meeting, vacuuming, and you're not in the rest, then come to the Lord. It's not good not to serve in the rest. When we cooked last week, I told the Lord, whatever I have to do here today, I want to be in your rest. But that doesn't mean I lay down and I wait until everyone else has done everything. No, then you're in your flesh. No, but it says here, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Isn't it wonderful? Yeah, in the yoke of the Lord, under the yoke of the Lord, you find rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It is so wonderful. In this time, to serve the Lord together, practically, spiritually, we always have to be in the Spirit. Also, when we serve practically, it's so wonderful. You're in the rest of the Lord. We don't have to do everything, but we shall only do what the Lord tells us to do. If we are very hectic, and we jump around, so to speak, then I'm really doubting if we are serving in the rest of the Lord. Verse 8, in Hebrews, again, in Hebrews 5, verse 8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So the Lord served in obedience. If we have so many ideas what we shall do, then we should first of all bury all these 100 ideas we had. He who has 100 ideas what he can do for the Lord, he cannot enter into his rest. Then you have to bury your ideas first. Yeah, best thing first, you don't have any idea how to serve the Lord. You tell the Lord, Lord, I have no idea how to serve you. I bow my neck and I just want to serve you. Tell me how I can serve you. So obedience means, first of all, you listen. So good to tell the Lord, Lord, I want to listen to you now. Do you know what happens then? If you say that from the heart, then you calm down and you have to do nothing until He spoke to you. You have nothing to do until He spoke to you. You can just come to you, talk to Him, seek Him. And only when He spoke to you, you start to follow Him. And then, until then, you enter into His rest. You don't have to run around and lay everything, each kind of burden on you. No. And learning, it's step by step. Caleb, from fifth grade, you made it, and next week you can write your A levels. Is that possible? No. We learn every day. We will practice 12 hours for 1 hour for 1 week, and then you can write the A levels right away from the fifth grade. No, it's not possible. You can just learn one thing day by day. If we always look onto the goal, onto a standard, in a sense that you always look on a perfect standard, from the first grade, you're worried about your A-levels. And I think then you will break down. There will be no good end. If you're in the first grade, you only have to learn what the teacher teaches you today. 1 plus 1. 3 plus 4. It's good enough. You're a teacher, right? It's good enough. If the students learn today what you teach them, you're satisfied, right? You don't expect them to learn everything from 1 year in 1 day. That's why Hebrews says, today, when you hear your voice. If we learn today from the Lord what He has to say today, then it is good. Good enough. Amen. Then we don't have to go crazy about things we don't do it today yet. But let us hear today what he has to say. And let us do it. Learn obedience. Lord, how can I learn to pray for the saints? What do you want me to learn? Then you're really in his rest and you go on. And it says here, what he suffered. It will not be easy. To serve God also means to suffer. That's as it is. The Lord in Matthew 5 said, how will it be with those who serve him and do his will, that will be praised by everyone? Is that your experience, Manu? Who is praised many times? No. In Matthew 5, verse 10, things, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Wow. The more you serve God, the more you will be persecuted. Who still wants to serve God? Do you still want to serve God? How come? Because it is such a fulfilling to do the fulfillment, to do the will of God. Every time we do what the Lord wants us to do, we realize this day, it counts for eternity. It's such an important day, right, Timo? And on such a day, you think, that was a good day. And if the will of God was not done, then it was an empty day. It is a secret. We are made for the will of God. And if we do the will of God today, we will find such a peace, such a fulfillment, which we cannot find in anything else. And still, you have to suffer. It is part of it. You will be persecuted. Many are against you. Persecuted doesn't mean they want to kill you, but they are somehow against you. You are at work, at university, you testify the gospel, you preach the gospel, but everyone is against you. What did you do? Did you do something evil? No. You said God wants to save you and you will be persecuted. This is what the scripture says, yeah? And that's why it says, in what he suffered, he learned obedience. Peter warns us, we have to be ready, prepared, that if we do God's will, we have to suffer. It's part of it, but these suffers go together with grace, and they bring you into glory. This is wonderful. You can still be joyful in the Lord. Matthew 5 is the proof. It says, blessed are those who were persecuted for righteousness' sake. Then it says, for those, but theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, do you all want to have the kingdom? Are we all ready to be persecuted? We need this great high priest. We cannot do it in ourselves. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you. Falsely for my sake. Did people say to you such things? Bad things, this and that? What are you supposed to do? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. How is our reaction if something like that happened? You served the Lord, you were faithful to the Lord, and then somebody explodes into your face because he somehow it is so terrible for him that you serve God. So what do you do? Once it's over, you can be happy. You can say thank you. Be exceedingly glad. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. It's a good experience. When you realize you're reviled, and you don't react, and you abide in the Lord, in his rest, and you pray, and this is really wonderful. Praise the Lord. And then it says, again in Hebrews 5, and having been perfected, verse 9, there is no perfection without the priestly service. And I don't mean the teaching about it. I mean the practice of the priesthood. He who practices the priesthood will enter into the kingdom. Definitely. Because that's how the Lord enters into the glory. That's what Matthew 7 says. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord. That means I know much about the Bible. I do many things, any kind of things, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. No, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So it is not difficult. We have to start where the training starts today with the high priest. No matter which step of our life we have, the Lord wants what we need now. The Lord knows the next step. So praise the Lord. And that's how we are being perfected. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So that shows it is step by step. It is not at once. Yeah. Yeah, more and more salvation is happening in our life. Wonderful. The Lord went through everything. That's why it is good that the Lord came as a man, born by a woman. So that means he went through all things. He also was 12 years old. How old are you, Jonas? 10 years old. What did the Lord do when he was 12 years old? Do you know this story? So Caleb knows. He was in the temple. And what did he do afterwards? He obeyed his parents. That's what he did when he was 12 years old. Praise the Lord. He's the great high priest. He trains us to obey. And every step, he went through every step of our life. The Lord also had a job. The Lord has had 12 disciples. So this is stronger than being married and have children. And 12 disciples and... Yeah. We shall obey him. Praise the Lord. Step by step. Going forward, going on with him, and he will give us food. That's the end of the chapter. And then, if we do that, then it will not happen to us what is written in verse 11, of whom he have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Yeah, no, we don't want to become dull of hearing. We want to learn more from him. And the Lord, as this great high priest, will make it with all of us. Amen. I hope we will all preserve our faith. This morning, the faith, we spoke about faith, and we make use of our faith to go this way, and the Lord will make it with all of us. He intercedes for that. Praise the Lord. And he can help us all hear what he has to say today and do it. And tomorrow, there's the next step. And that's how we reach the goal. Praise the Lord.